I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Adria Vassell joins me now. She's authored the acclaimed and best-selling Echoholic, and she returns now with Echoholic Home, the greenest, cleanest, and most energy-efficient information under one roof. It offers timely, helpful, and necessary tips we can use in our homes, whether we live in a house or an apartment. They're timely because in light of this economic crisis, we can live more conscious of the environment. Conversely, when we live green, we'll notice some savings in the long term. Adria Vassell has long been a green advocate, appearing in a number of publications, prominently in Now magazine, as well as on all the major television outlets. She joins me from here in Vancouver. Her website is echoholic.com.
.ca.
Pardon me, echoholic.ca. Echoholic.com is published by Vintage Canada. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Adria Vassell. Good morning, Ms. Vassell.
Hello there.
Did I pronounce the name right?
Well, it's a tough one. It's actually Adria.
Adria, pardon me.
No problem. You know, it's one of those names. It's just a tough one to pronounce.
Yeah. The success of Echoholic, did that surprise you?
You know what? I have to say that I was completely floored by it. I didn't think that we'd get, you know, any interest. I thought that maybe outside of Toronto it would disappear, because I do write the Echoholic column out of Toronto, and I've been doing that since 2004. So I thought, okay, yeah, I'm sure my readers there will support the book. But I didn't expect to be getting phone calls and emails from, you know, the Yukon and Northern BC and Northern Alberta and all over the place, from people saying, hey, I read your book. I bought it at the bookstore. I took it out of the library, or a friend gave it to me. And you know what? It's really opened my eyes to a lot of things, and I've changed X, Y, and Z because of it. And every time I got another email, I was more and more surprised. And so I got to say, I'm pleasantly happy by the impact of the first book, of course.
Yeah, and before the second book, do you notice that when you go across the country, when you hear from people across the country, that the concerns that they have are the same?
Yeah, I think from coast to coast, the concerns are the same. Canadians are definitely, you know, worried about the fate of the planet. They're also worried about the toxins that are being thrown into the planet and brought into their homes on products. You know, when we're the chemicals that we bring into our homes end up getting into our bodies and into, you know, our waterways and soil samples and all that stuff. So it's a whole health and whole planet problem. And I think I get the same questions whether I'm talking to someone in Newfoundland or in BC. So it just shows that we, you know, all have the same concerns. And I think, you know, whether you live in a small town or a big city or whatnot, Canadians have really shifted over the last few years. When I first started writing the Echoholic column in 2004, at that point, the very same month that I launched the column, I actually had written an article for Now magazine saying that environmental consciousness was dead and no one cared about Earth Day anymore, and it was a non-issue. Pollsters had stopped asking about the planet and whether we cared about it. That was in 2004. Obviously, that completely turned around, you know, by 2005, and now in 2009, going on 2010, you know, 90% of Canadians have made some sort of green changes to their homes. They're, you know, changing their light bulbs, they're getting low-flow shower heads, they're turning the thermostat down at night, because they know ultimately that it's better for the planet and that it is actually saving them money at the end of the day.
These small changes, these are important. These are ones that we can all do. But you do recognize that sometimes these big changes that we all should make, but we don't. And sometimes we don't, because we just think it'll alter our lifestyle a great deal, that it'll cost a lot of money. And just thinking about it makes us crazy.
You're right. And that's why I tell people to, you know, pick three things that are easy for you. Pick three things, you know, right off the top, some small changes that are the easiest. Because if you tell people to start with the hard stuff right away, they're just going to turn off. Because you can't tell people to change their entire life. It doesn't work for, you know, tobacco doesn't work for fad diets. People can't change their behavior overnight. And so I always tell people, like I said, start with the small stuff and then consider making the bigger changes. And, you know, even if it's just for your house, you know, starting with a small thing like buying green cleaners or whatnot, but then saving up a few dollars to add more insulation to your house will end up actually putting more money back in your pocket at the end of the day when your heating bills come in. So, you know, a lot of these green changes will cost you more, but at the end save you more than you would ever have spent. And obviously some of them cost you nothing at all. I mean, a low-flow shower head, $20, and it'll save you $100 a year in water heating costs. And so it just makes good economic sense. But, you know, there's bigger changes, obviously. You know, if you're considering getting, if you drive absolutely everywhere and, you know, you know that's not going to change, well, I try to meet people where they're at, right? I can't tell you to get rid of your car if that's something that is technically feasible for you. But I can tell you to, you know, look at carpooling. Is there someone from your work that lives, you know, within a 10-minute drive of you where you can carpool together? Just driving less aggressively will reduce your fuel costs and your fuel use, you know, little things like that. But obviously, if you can't afford to go out and buy a brand new green home from scratch, then fantastic. But I'm here to work with people where they're at and start with the small changes for sure.
And in the second book on changes that we can make at home,
exactly, yeah,
just seems like a no-brainer. Changing furnace filters. We never do that at our house. We only seem to do that when we turn the furnace on again in the fall. We should do that more often.
Yeah, you know what? Most people change their furnace filters once a year, but you're actually cutting your furnace short. You're making it way harder for it to work. So you want to actually change that filter, ideally, every other month. But every 3 months would be fine. And you know what? They're pretty cheap. I mean, I've got my filters from my furnace are only about, I think it's 3-pack for $10. And I live in a rental. And I just asked when the guy came in at the beginning of the fall and first changed the filter when I moved in, I asked him to show me where it was and how to change it if you don't know already. And if you change it every couple months, you will see your furniture running that much more efficiently because it gets clogged up pretty quickly. And if you only change it once a year, you're really going to see more clogging happening than should be happening.
And programmable thermostats. We've had one for about a decade now.
Fantastic.
People should have those?
You know, only, I think it's 6 out of 10 or 4 out of 10 Canadian households have programmable thermostats, but they are amazing at cutting back your energy use. Because, you know, you might think that, you know, you remember to turn the thermostat down at night, but what about when you leave for work? Or what about, you know, on the weekends when you're gone? You can run out quickly and forget to do something about the thermostat. Now, if you program it, you get yourself a $40 Energy Star thermostat, and you program it so that it goes down to, you know, 18 degrees at night and 18 degrees when you go to work, and it can kick back in again, you know, 20 minutes before you're set to come home, so it's nice and toasty when you get home. You'll save definitely 10% on your natural gas bill if you're heating with natural gas, and even more if you have, you know, electric heating or baseboard heating. So there are programmable thermostats for pretty much every type of heating system you've got. So definitely go to your local hardware store and get one of those. I mean, even if you live in a rental, you talk to your landlord about making that change. I did, and he was really open to it because he knew at the end of the day it would save everyone in the house money.
And we're still energy hogs in Canada, aren't we?
Oh, boy, yeah. Canadians are the second biggest energy hogs in the world. The only ones who beat us are the Americans. So it is one area that is really expanding our environmental footprint. And Canadian households are actually directly and indirectly responsible for a whopping 46% of Canada's greenhouse gas emissions. And that ties back to everything from, you know, the amount of electricity you're using in your home and where that electricity comes from, what type of, you know, heat you're using to heat your home, as well as all the energy that comes embedded on the products or in the products we buy. You kind of think that, oh, you got it from the store and the only energy involved is the one that, you know, gets sucked from the wall when you plug it in. But a lot of energy goes into making it. So if you don't need something, because we tend to buy more than we need, then you'd actually be reducing your carbon footprint by buying a little less.
I have it in my office here, a couple of things that I noticed after reading the book. My cell phone charger is plugged in all the time. I didn't think that took much energy, but it does it?
It absolutely does. Yeah, that's an example of phantom power, how most of our gadgets continue to draw power from the wall even when you're not using them. And that's true for your microwave, your coffee maker, your DVD player, your TV, and yes, your cell phone charger. Yeah, in fact, if everyone that bought a cell phone this year in North America, just those people started unplugging their chargers or switched to an Energy Star charger, because those use very little power. They only use one watt of power when the cell phone's not plugged in. And if you switch to those or you unplug your charger when it's not in use, then we'd save enough power to light 270,000 homes. That's pretty amazing just from a little cell phone charger, but it adds up. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, like these little changes that seem really tiny and insignificant, but when we all start doing them, it really does lead to pretty big savings.
And Energy Star chargers, I've never heard of these. Do they have special labels on them, do they?
Energy Star is a logo that was started, initially by the U.S. government and their environment program there, but it's run by Environment Canada here, I think it is, or Natural Resources Canada, and it basically tells you that your gadget, your electronic, uses 75% less energy when it's off and not in use than the competition. And so it should only use like 1 watt of power or a couple watts of power when it's off, and that's a great thing. And many times it will also tell you that it uses less electricity when it's on, too. They changed the standards. Before, when you saw an Energy Star TV, it only applied to how much energy that TV used when it's off. But now, in 2010, they've changed that. And so, you know, if you get a new TV at Christmas, then if you look for the Energy Star logo, that will tell you that it's saving more energy all the time, 24/7. So that's definitely a good one to look for.
So the other thing in my office here, just turning around here looking, I've got a TV, VCR, and DVD player that are on a power bar.
Right.
Should I turn that off every day?
Absolutely. Flick it off. It's the easiest thing to do. If it's already on a power bar, then as soon as you're done using them, just press that button, flick it off. It's as easy as turning off the light switch when you leave the room. And it's just a tiny little habit shift. I flick my power bar off as soon as I leave the living room and I'm not watching TV or listening to the stereo. And you'll see that phantom power adds up. It adds up to about anywhere from 5 to 10% of your energy bills, depending on how old your electronics are. The older the electronics, the more they're hogging. So, yeah, definitely, if you've got a power bar, great. But if you don't have any, just, run out and get some. And it's great for entertainment centers because at least you can put your DVD player, your TV, your stereo, and all those things on one bar, and it makes it super easy.
And I have this bad habit, I'm trying to get rid of it, of when I brush my teeth, keeping the water running.
Yeah. Definitely not a good thing. You are losing, and you are wasting, I forget the stat now, but an incredible amount of liters per minute. It's about 30 liters of water per minute.
Yeah.
Just by, sitting there and brushing your teeth. And it's true in the shower as well. And the toilet, flushing the toilet is 20 liters of water per flush for an older toilet. New low-flow models are 6 liters per flush. And your shower head, like I was saying, an old one, 30 liters of water per minute. The new ones are more like 7 to 9 liters of water per minute. So you're saving a lot of water. In fact, a household, in a household with 4 people in it will actually save a swimming pool's worth of water per year just by switching to the low-flow model. But if you're brushing your teeth, the easy thing to do is just to turn off the tap as soon as you rinse your toothbrush, turn it off, and only turn it back on when you're ready to rinse. And it's true for when you're washing your hands, too. I mean, now we're washing our hands so much. We're washing our hands, 100 times a day because of the whole H1N1 thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of, I'd say, 90% of Canadians leave the tap running while they're sitting there singing happy birthday twice to make sure that, they're washing their hands long enough to get rid of the flu virus. And if you just turn off the tap while you're lathering up, again, you'll save so many liters of water there. It's really important. So little tips like that end up doing the planet a lot of good.
And where are you on, speaking of H1N1 and the flu season, on what sort of soaps we should use? I mean, we're worried about toxins, as you
right.
said. These hand sanitizers, are they good?
Well, the whole hand sanitizer thing, if it's made with 60% alcohol, then yes, it does kill the flu virus. It does, it is an antiviral thing. But, the only thing with the hand sanitizers that bothers me is that, A, they're very drying, but B, they've got a lot of chemical fillers in their petrochemical fillers and synthetic fragrances, which are made with some pretty toxic ingredients. So, you can actually go to the health food store and get all kinds of hand sanitizers there that have the same antiviral properties because they have 60% alcohol in them, but the rest of the ingredients are better for you. The ones that really bother me are the antibacterial hand soaps and the antibacterial dish soaps and cleaners. Those ones, you know, they're often orange-colored. I don't know why they're always orange, but they're often orange-colored soaps, and they'll say antibacterial across them. For one, you need to know that those are actually not antiviral. They do absolutely nothing for cold and flus. Health Canada will tell you that much. And the other thing is that they tend to be made with a chemical called triclosan, which is turning up in our waterways. It's turning up in soil samples. It's they just found it, found some in dolphins just a couple months ago, and it's also been found in breast milk. So, and that's actually a chemical that's been found to be gender-bending frogs. So we're just kind of discovering how bad this chemical is for us. Meanwhile, it is still allowed in antibacterial cleaners. And I really think it's a waste of our time because, like I said, people are using this stuff thinking it's good for cold and flu season to help reduce the amount of, you know, virus germs that are kicking around our homes but and offices. But I'd rather see stay far away from those and just, you know, if you are worried about bacteria, then go to the health food store and get a cleaner called, well, Nature Clean makes one that's a disinfectant. Natura also makes one. And it's just made out of thyme oil, literally thyme oil. It's made out of pressed oil from the herb thyme, and it's been actually certified by Health Canada to be approved for hospital use because it's so effective at killing 99.9% of bacteria. Although, honestly, I think we're growing up too clean these days. I mean, we're obsessed with getting rid of every single germ in sight.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one thing with antiviral stuff, like the alcohol. That's fine. But getting rid of all the bacteria around us, we're actually creating a whole generation that's growing up too clean, and doctors call it the hygiene hypothesis, and they say, you know, we're actually creating a generation that has a lower immunity to germs, getting sicker more easily, and we're more prone to allergies and such because of it.
So just plain soap and water, right?
Plain soap and water, and if you're cleaning your house, you know, good old-fashioned vinegar, super cheap, and it's a natural disinfectant, a natural antiseptic, and it does a good enough job to get rid of enough of the bad stuff without hyper-sanitizing our homes to the point that it's making us sick and creating super germs.
And baking soda, you use a lot of that at your house?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Got to have a good stash of baking soda and vinegar around. Baking soda is like, you know, the poor man's comet. You don't need the chemicals. You just need baking soda as your scouring agent. And actually, my Ecoholic editor is the one who told me that putting salt down as well on the countertop is a great scouring agent. And if you've got kind of an old tub that doesn't get clean very easily, you can sprinkle some salt down and some baking soda and some vinegar, and it'll really get the job done. Although, I found that cold vinegar, getting rid of soap scum and that kind of thing, wasn't all that effective. And I found a trick. Basically, if you heat up that vinegar in the microwave or you put it in, heat it up over the stovetop, it just quadruples the power of that vinegar. And if you spray it on your shower stall, wait 5 minutes and come back to it, it will literally melt away the soap scum. So, tiny trick like that, and you're using, you know, an ingredient that costs you pennies per use, and you're getting your house as clean as you would have otherwise.
A lot of people buy these air fresheners in cars and in homes and stuff.
Oh, yeah, another pet peeve of mine, air fresheners.
What do you do to make your house smell nice, then?
Well, for one, you know, crack the windows more often. Let in some air from the outside, because often the air inside our homes is literally, on a regular day, 2 to 5 times worse than outdoor air in terms of certain air pollutants like VOCs, which are found in paints and off-gassing from pressed wood furniture and so on. So crack the windows more regularly. But also, if you do like, you know, a nice, yummy scent, then you can make your own air freshener. You can actually just take a spritz bottle, add some warm water in there, put a quarter cup of baking soda, and a few drops of essential oil, preferably the organic kind from the health food store, because some of the other kinds you can find are actually not natural at all. But a few drops of natural essential oil or a few drops of natural, you know, vanilla extract, whatever scent you like, put it in there, shake it up, and spritz, and you've got a natural air freshener. You can also, you know, if you're not into making it yourself, you can go to the health food store, and they actually have several different kinds of air fresheners that, you know, you can keep in the bathroom or whatnot, or they even have kinds for your car that don't have all the nasty chemicals, because the typical air freshener gives off formaldehyde, it gives off benzene, and the part that makes the fragrance really cling to the air and last is actually, well, that's made, that they have to use something called phthalates. And phthalates are a family of plastic softeners that are being banned from kids' toys in Europe and the U.S. and now in Canada, but they're a major component of synthetic fragrance. And so if you're plugging in an air freshener that's, you know, spritzing your house every half hour or every 15 minutes, as some of them do, you're just filling it, like I said, with benzene, formaldehyde, and lots of those hormone-disrupting phthalates. And I've had some readers tell me, you know, when you told me about the air freshener thing, I unplugged them from my home, and literally within a week, my headaches started clearing up. I was wondering why I was getting so many headaches. And I've heard this again and again. You know, people don't realize where their headaches are coming from, but they're actually coming from the products like air fresheners.
And in the kitchen, Teflon. I still have Teflon pans.
Well, for Christmas, then, I would buy you either a cast iron pan, a stainless steel pan, or, you know, my new favorite green cookware made out of ceramic coating. So the great thing, if you're a big fan of the nonstick finish in Teflon, and, you know, trust me, I'm a lazy chef, so I like that, too.
Yeah.
And I was never that great at maintaining the seasoning on my cast iron pan. So when they came out with these new pans, literally it has the same nonstick finish, but it's sealed with, or it's made with ceramic coating. So it does not leach, it does not give off any off-gassing or chemicals, and I've tried like six of them myself, different brands, and you can cook an egg perfectly on there without breaking the yolk. And you know what? I got mine for $29 from Zellers. Earth Chef is a good brand. I found that one had the best nonstick finish that's the most durable. You could even use metal utensils on it, which is not true for Teflon. And with that Earth Chef pan, they actually plant a tree for every pan you buy. So it's a pretty good Christmas gift, and you know what? Maybe I'll send one to you for Christmas.
Hey, this is what's great about the book, is that after you finish reading it, you keep going back to it, and the spine gets worn out because you just, you know, you're going back looking at different things. Congratulations on this book, and continued good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. The website is ecoholic.ca.
That's right.
The book is called Ecoholic Home, The Greenest, Cleanest, and Most Energy-Efficient Information Under One Roof. It's published by Vintage Canada. Its author, Andrea Vassal, on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plano.